I want you to share the answer with the person next to you. Do you have anything old in your house or where you work that you would like to have restored to new? Is there anything old? Spouses don't count. My goodness. Is there anything old in your house or where you work that you would like to have restored to new? Go ahead and tell the person next to you. Go. What are you coming up with? Let me get a little more personal. Is there anything old on your body you would like to have restored? Don't tell the person next to you. Is there an old relationship that you would like restored to new? And what about your soul? Is there anything old in your soul that you would like restored to new? Any old sin pattern, whether it be lust, envy, greed, gossip, whatever it is there something old in your soul that you would like to have restored to new? An old sin pattern. I'm ashamed to say that about 25 years ago, I was eligible for a no cussing contest. I was at a basketball camp with the other teammates from my basketball team, and we were realizing that we were letting it fly a little too much, so we came up with this idea, appealing to our competitive nature. Let's have a no cussing contest, and whoever cusses the least wins, and everybody else has to buy him the pizza at the end of the week. Well, we took the challenge. And a friend of mine decided he was going to be the monitor, the scorekeeper. And so he'd come and he'd watch our games. We weren't on the same team. He'd watch our games and make sure we weren't letting something fly if we made a mistake. Came to me one time, we were just having a normal conversation. All of a sudden he goes, whoops, you scored. So he's watching. Well, all of a sudden, one day, the guy who's monitoring the contest misses a few shots in a row. And it starts coming out. You know? And I said, wait, stop! Stop! You're going to lose the contest. He rips his shirt, he takes his $10, and he throws it down and said, I don't care, I'm out. And you know, that little story is what we do with the old sin patterns in our soul. We either say, I'll restore myself, appealing to our competitive nature, or we say, I'm out. No one can restore this on this side. I will have it all the time on this side. What sin contests are you eligible for today? What old sin pattern have you held on to? I wish I could tell you that that was the worst of my sin patterns, but it wasn't. Today, we're going to learn about the restorer, about living hope, confident assurance of life abundant and eternal in Christ. The restorer, living hope that the old can be made new, and it comes from fully surrendering our lives to the Restorer who makes the old new. Would you please stand, and we're going to read our passage today, which is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is the thanksgiving passage of his letter. All letters had that. It's all one sentence all the way through verse 12. We're not going that far today. All one sentence. You grammar people ought to take note on that. All one sentence. And he learned to pray from a book called The 18 Benedictions. That's how they were taught. And this is a celebration to God for what he has done. Okay? So let's read it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. And now, God, may the words be yours and not mine. May living hope, full surrender to the Restorer, convict each soul here today. And God, I speak as one along the same journey. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to see that living hope fully surrenders three things. Living hope fully surrenders three things. Living, Zoe, spiritual, abundant, and eternal life. Hope, confident assurance of being in Christ and having that life now and for eternity, surrenders three things. And the first one, write it down. Living hope fully surrenders my old life. My old life. Fully surrenders my old life of sin, of desiring life apart from God, into the hands of the Restorer for an inheritance. The word inheritance there means present and future. It's how it's used in the day. It's how it's used in the Bible. I have it now in abundant life. I have it in the future in eternal life. An inheritance of living hope, confident assurance of life, of being restored in Christ. Let's look at what Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, the old life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds or your soul, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness that only comes from Jesus Christ. Resurrection, inheritance, future salvation are all terms that Jews referred to for the last days, the last times. And what's important about that here is that Peter is saying the Messiah has come. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came. And he lived a perfect life. And he died on a cross, bearing the old sins of all. And he resurrected, conquering the old, conquering sin and death. And he's giving you new birth into a living hope. You see, there were pagan religions that said you could have new birth. You could have new life, but it depends on you and your works. That's true in the day. Same today, people say that. But Peter says, no, It's based on the works of another. It's based on the restore. And we need to fully surrender our old life into the hands of the restore. Why? Because of God's great mercy in resurrecting Christ from the dead. God's great mercy. Mercy, not getting what we deserved for our sins. Mercy is the grid by which Jesus Christ, the Restorer, chooses his projects. Mercy is the grid by which Jesus Christ, the Restorer, chooses his projects. Let's look at Matthew 9:13. Jesus says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Don't try to restore yourself. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so how do I want you to surrender your old life to the restorer? Your old life of sin. I want you to write this down. This is exactly what I want you to do. I want you to write down, I can't, you can. I can't, you can. Write it down. How do I surrender my old life? I can't, you can. We say, I can't restore my own life. Jesus Christ, the Restorer, you can. I can't pay for the penalty of my sin. Jesus Christ, the Restorer, you can. You conquered the old. I can't be Lord of my own life and be free from the power of sin. But through you can, through Christ, you can. We need to admit that outside of Christ, we are unrestored sinners. Now, there's a couple other permutations that mean something quite different I can do with those words. And it's interesting, our surveys tell us that there probably are in this room anywhere from 100 to 250 people who think that you are outside of a loving, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's because you're saying one of two things. You're either saying, I can restore my life. Christ, you can't. Look at me. I'm honest. I pay my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. I can restore myself. You can't. Or you're saying this. Not only I can't, but Christ, you can't. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad it is. Nobody can restore me from this sin pattern. But God's mercy is available for the sin patterns in our souls to be restored only in Christ the Restorer, and Jesus gave us the model on how to respond to his mercy. It's going to come on the screens. It's Luke 18:13. Dave Walters preached on this parable, but the tax collector stood up, stood at a distance, showing his broken heart. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I can't restore my own life. You can. I want to give you a picture. I have a little illustration here. It's going to come on the screen. It's a 1908 Auburn. That's the factory photo from the archives at the Auburn Court Duesenberg Museum. They've been so gracious to let us have these photos. And there's what it looked like new. Might want to compare that to God's design, his original design he had for us, okay? But here's what it looked like after a tornado had wiped out a barn it had set in for years. And the beams had fallen in on it, and it's pretty much all there. But it's unrestored. And one day, the family who had it said to the Auburn Court Duesenberg Museum, here, take it. What are we going to do with it? And that picture I'm using right now for you to imagine the picture of your soul when you surrender the old life to Christ the Restorer. Now again, it's bad, it's rusty, it's corroded. You know, what are those sin patterns in your life? But if you haven't fully surrendered your life to the Restorer, what about today? What about saying, I can't, you can? Not saying, I can't, you don't know how bad I am and there's no way you can do it. And not saying, I can, God, I can restore myself, you can't, I'm pretty good. But what if you would just come today with your soul, sin and all, and said, Jesus Christ the Restorer, I can't restore my own life, you can. We see here that living hope, confident assurance of life abundant and eternal in Christ, fully surrenders my old life. And maybe that's you today and you're ready to say to God, I can't, you can. But second, we'll see that living hope fully surrenders, write this down, my sins piece by piece. My sins piece by piece. I surrender them to the Restorer as the trials in my life reveal those old sin patterns. Let's look at verses 6 through 7. In this, let me just point out what this is. In this, that's the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter believed, he says later, that these are the last times the Messiah has come. But when he's the second coming, when he comes in that last time, in this, because you're shielded by God's power through your full surrender. That was a Roman idea that Rome could do that. He's saying, you know, this is a different deal. And your inheritance that you're losing, see, they were losing, the early Christians were losing their physical inheritance on earth. They were losing their properties that they inherited from their parents because of their full surrender of their old life. So he says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Well, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, the most precious commodity in the marketplace there, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Living hope fully surrenders my old life and my sins piece by piece. Why? So that my full surrender or my faith might be proved or approved genuine. Real. Everybody will take God in good times, but what about the bad? And then Peter uses this imagery that's used throughout the Bible of a refiner or a restorer of metal. See, the way that works is refinement brings heat to the metal, let's say gold. And as that heat gets hotter and hotter, the impurities come to the top. So as our trials, the heat of our trials come around us, our old sin patterns of our soul will start rising to the top. When Peter wrote this, it might have been a great temptation to go back to the old life. Because, see, they had many social pressures beyond what Kelly has talked about. They also had pressures of being unprofessional in business and being accused of that because they wouldn't go to the guild meetings that were at the pagan temples. That's kind of got a link to today. If I want to live out a relationship with God in the marketplace, some people don't like that. They were pressured and criticized and ostracized for not being family-oriented because all the family events were at pagan temples and they didn't go. Early Christians did that together. It can be familiar today. They were criticized as being unpatriotic because they wouldn't bow down to Caesar, who called himself divine. And so Peter says, these heat of these trials are bringing the impurities in your soul to the top. And the, guess what? The biggest, baddest impurities come out towards the end when the fire's at its hottest. And the refiner molds and shapes and refines and brings impurities out of the metal until he sees his reflection in the metal. Jesus Christ the Restorer is refining us amidst the trials and the temptations of life, bringing the impurities out, the old sin patterns in our souls, so that we will be proved genuine and authentic and have his heart, so that we will reflect him. And you say, well, how do you want me to do that? How do you want me to surrender my sins piece by piece? Write this down. Confess. Confess in communion and community. Confess in communion with God and in community with others. Vertical and horizontal confession. Confess means to agree with God from his perspective that the sins are there, to see that they're there, that the impurities have risen to the top, and now I'm going to let the refiner have them. Look what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, restore us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins to God, piece by piece as they come up through the trials of life. I've held on to sin patterns, and I've not confessed them to God. See, he already knows them. But sometimes you just feel like you got this safe place to harbor this desire apart from God. And you don't even want to give it to him because you know if you do, he's going to do that. I'm challenging you today, don't do what I've made mistakes doing. Don't hold on to it. Confess it immediately to God and let him cleanse you and remove the impurities, forgive you and restore your soul. Second, I want you to confess horizontally. Now, there are some things that will just be between you and God, but I think generally true, most of the time, there needs to be flesh on God. You need to go find someone you trust. Write this down. You're committing today that you're going to go find someone you trust, and you're going to take that impurity in your soul, that old, and you're going to give it to the Restorer, but you're going to confess it to someone you trust. This isn't my idea. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other in the chosen community and pray for each other so that you may be healed or restored. The prayer of a righteous man who has the righteousness of Christ because he's fully surrendered to him is powerful and effective. Confess your sins piece by piece as they come up with the refiner's fire, with the trials of life, and surrender them. I want to give you a caution. Typically, don't cross gender lines. Opens up too much intimacy that can lead to other sins. All right? Another caution. Don't ever confess your sins of desire for someone else's spouse to that woman or that man. Don't ever do that. That's a backhanded way of saying, I'm willing to sin further. Don't do that. Let's look at this illustration, this picture. It's an amazing story here. The Auburn Court Duesenberg Museum had this car on display for a long time. And a group of volunteers came together in community and volunteered their time and said, let's restore it. Piece by piece. And they did. Almost all genuine, authentic parts. But it had to be restored piece by piece in community. It's in our community here that you can be restored piece by piece by confessing your sins to God and in community to another person. Living hope, confident assurance of life abundant and eternal in Christ, fully surrenders my old life of sin, fully surrenders it into the hands of the Restorer. And then we go on a pattern of fully surrendering our sins piece by piece as a refiner's fire brings them about. Living hope, third, write this down, fully surrenders my worship. My worship. Let's look at what Peter writes. Verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. It's Jesus Christ. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him or fully surrender to him. Same word as faith. Believe and faith are the same words. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal or the outcome of your faith, of your full surrender, the salvation or the restoration of your souls. He's the Restorer. Worship him. It says, love the invisible Christ. Believe or fully surrender to the invisible Christ. Because when you do that, the invisible becomes visible. I was talking to Steve Longbreak about this week. And he said, you know what I was told? If what you worship, if what you give your attention to, because we're worship beings, right? We're going to worship somebody or something, right? That's how we're designed. And he said, I was told that if you can see it and if you can hold it in your hands, then it's not Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you today, is the worship you surrender your life to, can you see it? Can you hold it in your hands? If you can, it's not Jesus Christ. Look what 2 Corinthians 4:18 says. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. The gold is gonna burn up and go away. But fully surrendered lives in Jesus Christ have living hope that will never perish, never fade, never spoil, and that's where the value is. Worship him with your life. Love him. Believe him. Fully surrender your worship to him. Trust him. He is the Restorer. Why? He tells us, verse 9, for the salvation or the restoration of your souls. On this side of heaven, on this side of heaven, we will surrender our sins piece by piece. On this side of heaven, we worship God for taking those impurities and refining them. And we're going to do something else with it. I want to show you. You know, David knew a lot about this, King David. And he says in the 23rd Psalm, verse 3, he restores my soul. Jesus Christ is a restorer of your soul. I want to show you something. Here's the 1908 Auburn, fully restored. Isn't that beautiful? Just beautiful. Look at it. Paint's all shiny. Brass is shiny. Leather's perfect. Runs beautifully. But I want to ask you some questions. Will it ever get a paint chip? Will the rubber on the tires ever wear? Say it louder. No. Yes, they will. Will the interior ever get kind of crumbly, maybe tear if somebody sits in it just wrong? Yes. Well, the engine someday needs more fluids of some kind or needs some work. Yes or no? On this side of heaven, as a saved individual, you are going to need to be in the restoration process again and again and again. Now you're made new. You're a new creation. Got a new heart. Got a new Lord heading in a new direction. But piece by piece, through the refinement, we got to surrender those to God and confessing those sins vertically and horizontally. And here's how, I want you to write this down. Here's how I want you to fully surrender your worship to Christ, the Restorer. I want you to go find someone who has similar sin patterns that Christ has restored in you and minister to them. I want you to go find someone who's caught in similar sin patterns that you have been restored from and go minister to them. This isn't my idea. This is God's. Kelly brought this verse out. I want to bring it back. It's Luke 21, verses 31 and 32. Luke 21, verses 31 and 32. Or 20, it might be Luke 22. It's Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith or your full surrender may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Go minister to them because they're going to have the same refinement process. Church, Jesus Christ prayed for every single person in this room today. He prayed for you. And he said, when you surrender your sin patterns to me, when you confess them to me, when you confess them horizontally, when you agree with me that they exist, and you let me refine you and shape you like me, and when you let me restore your soul, go! Go and help restore others with the same sin patterns. I've never seen this quite like I saw Wednesday night when Robert Rogers came. We were alone and back, and I told him what I was talking about today. And I said, I just want to know if you believe this. It looks like maybe you're doing it with your life. Have you thought about it? Are you intentional about it? And he says, let me tell you something. He said, I have one hope. You see, Robert lost his wife and his four children in a flash flood. A 500-year rain came. And it blew out embankments, 10,000-pound embankments, like they were toothpicks. And what was a creek became a raging river. And any car that would come up there was just tossed away into a river of death. And he says, Mitch, I started singing, Lord, I lift your name on high, as the water came up just in seconds, almost to neck level of my kids. I didn't want them to be scared. And he said, I saw that nothing good was going to happen, so I kicked out the window. When I kicked it out, he said, the water was at the top, and only four of us made it out. His two oldest children, his wife, and Robert. Well, everyone drowned but Robert. Robert Rogers went back to work as an engineer. See, he loved God and he worshiped God. He lived a life of worship, of ministering to others. But he couldn't focus. And he said, I felt called by God. And he says, people were calling me and saying, come share your story. He says, it hurts so bad. He said, but I just felt called by God to offer the Restorer's hope to those who are hurting and need him. And he says, so I just worship God and let people know that there's only one hope. There's only one living hope, and it's being in Christ, fully surrendered my old life, my sins piece by piece and my worship to him, because he is the restorer and he is the only one who will restore Robert Rogers with his family. He is the only one who will restore Angela Nichols with her son. And he is the only one who will restore your soul, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, maybe you're outside of a fully surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you surrender your old life to him today? Would you say, I can't, you can't? Because you're saying one of two things. You're either saying, I can't, God, and you can't. You don't know how bad it is. Or you're saying, I can't, you can't. Or you're saying, I can, you can't. I'm pretty good. I got things worked out. I'm doing well. Would you consider today fully surrendering your old life and admit, like that first picture of the Auburn automobile from 1908, unrestored, that you're a basket case in your soul, that you fall short of the righteousness of God? Others of you, would you today make a commitment to fully surrender your sins piece by piece through confession vertically to God and horizontally to someone you trust? Will you make that commitment today to go find someone and agree with God with the sin patterns of your life and allow him to take those away and restore your soul? And church, would you commit today to love and believe and fully surrender to the invisible Jesus Christ, making him visible by going and ministering to someone else who has the sin patterns that Christ is restoring or has restored in you? Maybe you've had an abortion, and you can go minister to a girl or girls who are thinking about it. Maybe you gossiped a lot, and you can go help somebody not gossip. Maybe it's been infidelity, and you can go help someone get restored out of infidelity. Maybe it's greed, and you can go help someone get out of greed. Maybe it's abuse of the internet, and you can go help somebody get out of the abuse of the internet. Would you commit today to let the Restorer use you to restore those far from God? Would you? We're going to give you a chance to do so. Jesus Christ is our only hope. He is the Restorer. And living hope, confident assurance of abundant life now and eternal life on the other side, is only available by full surrender to him. My old life, I can't, God, you can. I can't restore my life, you can. My sins, piece by piece, here they are. I can't, you can. Confessing them vertically and horizontally to another, and then worshiping God by investing in others. Only Jesus Christ is our hope. Praise God, Peter says. Praise God, he's making the old new. Praise God, he's a restorer. He restores my soul. Because if it weren't for him, we would be lost. We would be unrestored. Praise God for Jesus Christ. I'm asking the team to come up. Jesus said, if anyone is in me, if he's fully surrendered his life to me, the Restorer, he is a new creation. The old has passed, and the new has come. We have a new heart. We have a new Lord. We're on a new journey. Jesus closes Scripture with saying, I have made and am making all things new. On this side, we're going to be in that process. But praise God. On the other side, we'll be united with families and we'll be free. We'll be free from not only the penalty and the power of sin, but then the presence of sin. We're going to sing a song, praise God, for that future day. And while we do, I want you to consider what it is God wants you to do. Is today the day, February 13th, 2005, the day that you fully surrender your old life to Him? Is today the day, saying, God, I can't, you can't, have mercy on me, a sinner. Is today the day that you commit and go find someone you trust and say, I'm confessing my sins. I've confessed them to God. He's forgiven me, but I need to confess them to you. Is today the day that you need to commit to let the Restorer use your life to go restore others who have similar sin patterns that you had and God's restoring you from? I want you to think about that. Think about what He's saying to you as they sing this song.